Welcome to installment 140 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments continuing the discussion of the first fruits, Bikurim, that we began in yesterday's portion. There is a prohibition not to consume these first fruits outside the temple courtyard, and a positive commandment, number 132, to verbally thank God when we bring these first fruits as an offering. Yesterday we discussed the law of the first fruits, Bikurim, that they are brought to Jerusalem, whereupon they are eaten by the Kohen. There is a prohibition against the Kohen eating them outside the city of Jerusalem. And this prohibition is prohibition 149, or 148, as it is listed in some versions of the Rambam. And the Rambam derives this from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 17. And although the verse does not directly refer to the first fruits, it is learned from implication. The verse lists those things which leisucha lecho bisharecha, that you are not allowed to eat in your hometown, in your home settlement outside Jerusalem, and lists various items which must be eaten in Jerusalem. And it concludes at the end of the verse, usrumas yodecha, the truma, the raised offering of your hands. The Gemara discusses, however, all of the different gifts which must be eaten in Jerusalem are listed in this verse explicitly. And truma itself, it does not have to be eaten in Jerusalem, and therefore cannot be literally referring to the truma, which can be eaten by the Kohen any place he wishes. Therefore, what is it referring to? The Gemara concludes that the only thing left it can be referring to are the first fruits, the Bikurim, which must be eaten in Jerusalem. If the verse meant to prohibit the eating of first fruits outside Jerusalem, why then did it not refer to it explicitly by saying first fruits? The Rambam alludes to this by answering in the Sefer HaMitzvos, what is the similarity between Truma and Bikurim? That the first fruits have certain laws which are similar to Truma. For example, if a Yisrael, a Jew who was not a Kohen, who was forbidden from eating these, accidentally eats Bikurim, first fruits, he must pay back a fifth in addition to the total price of what he ate, just as the law is by Truma. That in addition to paying back the Truma, he must give an additional fifth. If he ate this, however, intentionally, he is punished by Misa Bidei Shemayim, a heavenly death penalty, just as Truma is. The Rambam tells us that the details of this law derive from the Talmudic tractate Makos, and he quotes the end of this tractate to give us an important condition relating to this violation. The Rambam says that a person has violated this biblical prohibition only if he has partaken of the first fruits before they have been brought to the courtyard. After they have been brought to the courtyard, the person is already considered to be patur. He is not culpable for this prohibition. On the other hand, he can only be punished if he has partaken of the first fruits after they have entered the city of Jerusalem. Therefore, a Kohen who eats of the first fruits after they have entered the gates of Jerusalem, but before they have been brought to the courtyard, is punished by lashes. But after they have been set in the courtyard, he is exempt. And the Kohen incurs lashes, says the Rambam, even though the Bikurim are belonging to him and may be eaten by him later on. This is similar to the Maaser Sheni, the second tithe, which belonged to a Yisrael. That even though he will be allowed to eat this Maaser Sheni when he reaches the city of Jerusalem, if he eats it outside Jerusalem, he is nevertheless lashed because he has eaten it in the wrong place. A non-Kohen, however, who partakes of this first fruits, is not punished based on this verse, however. He is punished based on the verse Kozor Le'echol Kedesh, that any non-Kohen may not eat of the sanctified things, which, as we discussed previously, comes to include the Bikurim, the first fruits. And therefore, if after the first fruits have been brought to the city of Jerusalem, a non-Kohen partakes of them, he is punished by a heavenly death sentence. The Rambam also mentions the statement of the Sifri, that this prohibition not only includes eating the first fruits outside Jerusalem, but also includes eating the first fruits before the Mikre Bikurim has been read, which is the declaration which is made upon the offering of the first fruits. This leads us into the next commandment, positive commandment 132, which is this commandment of Mikre Bikurim, making the declaration upon bringing of the first fruits. The Rambam explains that this commandment derives from Deuteronomy, the beginning of chapter 26, in which this statement is given in the Chumash, which a person must make, v'amarta elav, that a person must say to the Kohen, the entire portion which is indicated there, which relates the kindnesses of God that He has done for us, for the Jewish people and our ancestors, how He has saved us from our enemies. And we thank Him for having done so, and ask Him that He continue His blessings, which He has bestowed upon us in the past, and continue them into the future. The Talmud mentions that the Jewish people had to bring first fruits from the land of Israel, not immediately upon entering the land, but only after the land had been conquered in the days of Joshua, and split up and apportioned to all of the tribes. With this, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita has explained why is it that two specific instances are mentioned in the declaration regarding the first fruits. That God has saved Jacob, our father Jacob, from the ill treatment of Laban, and also that He saved us from the oppression in Egypt. There are many other kindnesses Hashem did for the Jewish people. Why were these two singled out? The Rebbe answers that only those kindnesses which were done to the Jewish people when they were in a state of settlement, when they were in a permanent or semi-permanent state of dwelling, such as Jacob was in his long inhabitants in the land of Laban, and as the Jews were in Egypt. However, when they were in their transient state in the Midbar, in the desert, this is not the sort of miracle which can be equated with a miracle done when they were in a settled state. And therefore, only these two are mentioned, the miracles and the kindnesses done for Jacob, and that done to our ancestors in Egypt. It might be added that this can also be used to explain why women are exempt from this commandment. That since women do not have for themselves an individualized portion based on their tribe in the land of Israel, that since tribal relation goes after the man, and therefore the men have the apportionment based upon their tribal affiliation, women therefore have a portion in the land only through their husbands, and therefore they are exempt from this commandment of first fruits, which is dependent upon ownership in the land of Israel. The Rambam tells us that the laws regarding this commandment are dictated in the tractate of Bikurim and the seventh chapter of the Talmudic tractate Sota. This declaration of all the miracles and kindnesses that Hashem has done for us is also an integral part of the Haggadah that we read on Passover. As we start off with the section, Arami Eved Avi, that Laban, the Aramean, destroyed or tried to destroy my father, Vayere Mitzrayma, Vayogar Shom Bimsei Ma'at, and they descended to the land of Egypt and dwelled there in a few numbers, as is dictated and explained at length in the Haggadah. Hasidic philosophy speaks at great length on the significance that Bikurim, first fruit, is also called Truma. As we have mentioned, there is a halachic similarity relating to the laws of Truma and the laws of the first fruits. However, there is a big difference between them. The Tzemach Tzedek explains that Truma comes from the word Torah. It contains the word Torah with an extra mem. The letter Mem signifying the number 40 in Gematria, which indicates that the Torah was given after 40 days that Moses entreated God to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Bikurim, however, the first fruits, says the Tzemach Tzedek, indicate something which is actually higher than Torah. What can be higher than Torah? The Tzemach Tzedek explains from the Medrash that the Jewish souls, the neshamas of the Jewish people, are actually higher than Torah. And actually, the Bikurim, the first fruits, indicate not only the general soul, the general neshama, but the etzem ha-neshama, the very essence of the Jewish soul, which is higher, much higher than Torah. In general, the fruits, says the Tzemach Tzedek, represents the part of the soul which comes down to this world and enclothes itself in the body. However, this is not the essence of the soul. Only a ray, a mere reflection of the soul, so to speak, actually comes down to the earth to affect the body in an internal, united fashion. The main part of the soul, the essence of the soul, remains forever united above with God, with a complete and essential unity. The commandment of Bikurim, which, as we mentioned, the Bikurim represents this essence of the soul, the fulfillment of the commandment actually helps bond and connect this essence of the soul with the part of the soul which is here in the world. Therefore, the commandment of Bikurim helps a Jew here in the world fulfill all of Torah and Mitzvahs, not only with the ray, with the reflection of his soul, but with the actual essence of his soul, to completely fulfill all of Torah and Mitzvahs with this tremendous strength and holiness with the essence of his soul. In this way, he increases a flow and a descent and an infusion of godliness down here in this world through the commandment of Bikurim. This also explains the statement of the Tanhuma, that our prayers were established in order to make up for the laws of Bikurim, which were no longer kept. The explanation is now obvious, that the tefillahs, our prayers, also help us connect ourselves with the essence of our souls, which is similar to the law of the first fruits, that the law of the first fruits also helps bring an influence and the bonding effect of the essence of our souls and bring it into effect and actualization here in this world. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of these installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.